Welcome to the Booktopia podcast. I'm John Purcell. I'm sitting here with Sarah McDougall. And we're across from Matt Riley, who has come in to talk about the three secret cities, which is selling so incredibly well, Matt. It must be, I mean, after you take 2 years to put these things together, and there's probably a little tiny bit of moments of anxiety. Is it, will they like this one? Will it do? And you arrive in Australia with it just smashing records. It must be quite pleasing to land in Australia and see your book there on the first week of sales just going smash.
It's a funny thing. I have a simple rule when I write any new book. It just has to be better in some way than the one I wrote before. And when you're writing a sequel, and I learned this way back with Area 7 following Ice Station and even Six Sacred Stones following Seven Ancient Wonders, the sequel has to do something better. You either know the characters a little better, do the action a bit bigger. And with Three Secret Cities, I felt that with four legendary kingdoms, I'd ramped up the action. And with Three Secret Cities, I ramped up sort of the character arcs and the emotion. And people seem to spot that really quickly. Mm. And that was something which I had hoped people would spot. And I was amazed at how quickly they saw that.
You must be the author who gets the fastest feedback about a new book. I think because you're the fastest read in the world, you have people who buy the book in the morning and are telling you about how wonderful it is in the afternoon.
Yes. That is the only way to read a Matthew Riley book.
That's exactly what happens.
Instantaneous.
People read so fast. It's funny, as someone who writes fast books, I'm a very slow, careful reader. It would take me, you know, 2 or 3 days to read one of my books. You're right, the book comes out on the day, it's finished, and people have also learned the hard way not to over-comment on my books on social media, because they will get dressed down. They'll get a dressing down from other fans who say, hey, no spoilers, please. Yeah. So it's really good. You get feedback straight away, but no spoilers either.
Yeah. I've learned that lesson. I'm a spoiler.
Yeah, she's a spoiler. she's the queen of spoiling. We often bring it up in podcasts because we cannot believe that there's a person who doesn't care.
Like I'm both ways. Like, I'll accidentally spoil stories, but I don't care about being spoiled. Because I firmly believe that you can't spoil a good story. And for me, knowing what happens is never going to ruin it. And I always get amazed that other people don't feel the same way.
Like, but
they really, really don't. I know that I'm kind of alone out here.
I have met fans who've come to signings. Not many, but there are some who they get a book and they read the last page first.
Yeah.
And they always do it because they don't want to be surprised. And I know with my books, I often do something on the last page.
Yeah.
And occasionally it's like, don't do that.
You'll ruin it. Yeah. Wouldn't ruin it for me, I don't think.
But also, and the other thing is, the weird thing is that you meet people who've read the books so many times. So that initial read is different, obviously. Mm. So they're reading it and they're just gobbling down, and the anxiety and the suspense is all there and the thrills, and they rush through it. But then they might read it again like the day after.
Yes.
And they're getting something
crazy.
Else.
Enjoy the ride this time.
But yeah, you've told this before, you have people lining up in your signing queues with these beaten up editions of Matt Riley that they've read again and again and again over the years. And so there's something else going on in Matt Riley apart from not knowing what happens next. Like, it has to be something else for them to be able to come back to it again and again and again, because they can't have amnesia every time.
It's I do think people, they blast through it on the first read. And especially with, and Three Secret Cities is a great example, there is a lot of detail in the pictures, and there are twists in the pictures. And in actual fact, when I set out to write not even Three Secret Cities, but it was actually Four Kingdoms, I said, if I'm going to come back to Jack West, I have to plan 4-3-2-1. And so embedded in some of the imagery in Three Secret Cities are the twists for the 2 and the 1. So I think people, they blast through that first reading, and on the second one they take more care. They look, and I like it that now they can see the twists, they can see the sort of things that have been layered into the images in the book. But there's also a funny thing that we do, which I have to give credit to my publisher, Kate Patterson, early on in my career. We put these little interviews at the back of the book. And it began with one of the early books. We had extra pages at the back. And Kate said, why don't we do a little interview as if a reader has finished a story and had questions for you? And let's imagine what the questions would be. And I do believe there's that little extra thing that happens when I do a book signing and readers come to the signing having finished the book. They've read that interview at the back and they've had a conversation with me. They've finished the book and now let's have a little chat with Matthew Riley about, why did you do this? What made you think of this? How did you come up with the idea for that? And I have to give Kate full credit for that, because that creates a relationship with the reader, which is something that you can't manufacture. That's real.
We find that in our social media, the loyalty to you and the way in which the readers believe they have that relationship direct with yes. you. And you were talking earlier about your own engagement compared to other authors, yep. and the findings were that these people were really engaged.
Yes, yes. It's you can even extrapolate it to just a book signing. Very early on, before I was published, I saw another author who shall remain nameless do a book signing in the middle of Sydney. And it was a guy, they slid the book to him and the customer was standing at the table and he never even looked up. He signed his name and he just handed the book and he did the next one. And I said to myself when I saw that signing, I said, if I ever do a book signing, I will always make eye contact with that person who has taken time out of their day to come and get their copy of my book signed. And at a book signing, the signing of the book, I think, is often incidental. It's the connection. People want to say, I read your book, I like your stuff, and I want to say, thanks for reading the book. And the interviews at the back as well, you can overthink these things. I love big action stories. I go to the movies to watch big action movies, and I'm the kind of person who would read a Matthew Riley book. Let's not overthink it.
I feel a bit bad for you that you don't get to read one without having also written it.
I know the ending. Occasionally I can trick myself. If I can take a couple of months off and go and do other things, I can come back and read my book fresh. And go, oh, wow, I forgot that bit. So, yeah.
Well, we've sort of skipped over the thing that we do usually at the beginning of the podcast, which is just, would you mind telling the readers out there just a little bit about your new book?
Sure, sure. the new book is The Three Secret Cities. It continues the series that was begun with Seven Ancient Wonders, and it's obviously counting down. We've gone 7, 6, 5, 4. Now we're at The Three Secret Cities, and it kicks off straight away from the end of the previous book, The Four Legendary Kingdoms, where our hero, Jack West, encountered these four shadow kingdoms which rule the world, you know, from behind the curtain. And after his acts in that book, the kingdoms are now coming after Jack. And what we discover is that there's a royal jailer and there are royal bounty hunters. And the kings are pretty upset with Jack, and so they've set the royal jailer out to find him. Somebody's paid these royal bounty hunters to go and capture him alive and bring him in. And so now Jack has to find these three secret cities of legend while he's being hunted. And there is a jail, there is a royal jail in the mythology I've created, which nobody knows the location of. And there will be a point in the story where Jack is going to be captured and he's going to be in the royal jail from which no one's ever escaped and no one's ever found it. So it's really, it's taken the mythology sort of to a whole new level.
And you were saying that it's actually, was it 14 years now that since the series began?
Yes, 14 years. So Seven Ancient Wonders came out in 2005. So I wrote it in, 2004. Six Sacred Stones was 07, and then Five Grace Warriors was 2 years after that. And with the Jack West books, you do so much historical research that you just need a rest. And so after The Five Greatest Warriors, I sort of tied a little bow at the end of that story and went off for the next few years. And for my own reasons, I wanted to branch out. And so I did a bunch of standalone books, The Tournament, The Great Zoo of China, Troll Mountain. I returned to the Scarecrow series and did Scarecrow and the Army of Thieves. And I had a break for 8 years. And I thought, I feel like doing a Jack West book again. And so The Four Legendary Kingdoms was born. And I figured a lot of fans, especially these big engaged fans, have completion issues. And they want, once you start going 7-6-5, they really say, well, we've got to do 4-3-2-1. And I thought I had to do that. So yeah, Seven Wonders was begun in 2004.
I've got a question for you. So these fans, you know that they read the whole lot again before, like in preparation for the new book.
Yes. Right?
And they're,
yes.
they're doing that. So
that makes sense.
Yeah, so they know everything. Like they remember the whole lot because it's all in the last few days. They've read the whole lot and they're coming to the new book. How much do you have to do to go back through the books to make sure that everything is precisely correct in this new book? Because there are a lot of fans out there who have sort of mini PhDs in your work.
Yes.
Who will be all over you if you mess this up.
That must be intimidating.
Once you've got sort of four or five books in the series, it's a lot to remember. And I think it happened to Robert Jordan in the Wheel of Time series, really? On like the 11th book.
He made a mistake.
Yeah, and the fans spotted it in 2 seconds.
Ouch.
And, you know, that must get past a publisher and an editor and a couple of proofreaders. Mm-hmm. For me, the answer to the question is actually, again, I don't overthink these things. I have, in my home, I have a copy of each book, 7-6-5-4 and now 3. And these copies have a, you know, written in Sharpie on the front, you know, MR copy, my copy. And they've got post-it notes, they've got underlined things, they've got things circled in pen throughout the book. So they look pretty beaten up, but they are my reference copies.
Wow.
And so I will go and refer to my own books just to make sure, you know, as John says, I can spend 2 years writing this book. Three Secret Cities was started in January of 2017, and now we're late 2018 with the book coming out. But if we make a mistake, you said it before, my fans will give me feedback within a day of the book coming out. So you don't want to spend 2 years writing the book and have someone point out on day one or day two, oh, excuse me, you made a mistake. You know, it might be like, you know, you killed that character back in, you know, The Five Greatest Warriors and now they're alive. Like, oh my God. So yeah, I have copies at home with pen marks.
I'm actually plotting a new novel. I'm going to go 20 years in the future where a group of people are hunting down the seven books that Matthew
the Bible wrote, copies.
The Bible
yeah.
copies of the things, and they're trying to hunt these books down. It's like a future Da Vinci Code coming in to try to hunt these down. Where Matthew Riley's gone missing. You know, the seven books have gone missing. We've got to find these seven books of Matthew Riley.
It's a funny thing, actually, Nat. You just reminded me, because I went back to that reference copy I have of Seven Ancient Wonders. And one of the things I love about the Jack West series is it's got a lot of heart. It's got all these sort of gung-ho military people who became this family around this little girl named Lily. And back in Seven Wonders, I had talked about Lily's birth, and she was born in this ceremony in a volcano, and her father was absent, and he was the previous oracle. She's an oracle, and he was the previous one, and he was drunk, and he was away. And I wrote about that in Seven Wonders and never explored it. And now in Three Secret Cities, we get to find out what her father was doing on the day of her birth. And I got to explore in the book that Jack West, who's the guy who's become her surrogate father, you know, over the course of now 5 novels, we then go back to this thing that I wrote back in Seven Wonders, back, you know, 14 years ago. And I must say, when I wrote, and full disclosure, when I wrote Seven Wonders, I didn't know this.
Oh, interesting.
But it makes me look really, really clever now. That it looks like I planned it 14 years ago. But that's, sometimes you go back and reread your own book and go, hey, I can use that now.
That's yeah. interesting.
But you might end up like Back to the Future, just getting looped and looped and looped, and then we lose you in some sort of fifth dimension. Matthew Riley gets looped into his imagination and goes round and round and round to boop. He's gone.
It's I have actually written a new book. I did a standalone book which has got time travel in it.
Oh, and my goodness.
I can actually sympathize with getting into once you grapple with time travel, that's a real mind bender. And you've got to get your head around that. But it's fantastic fun.
Please tell Please don't write yourself out of existence with time travel before you finish the Jack West series.
So, have we got a, is that a scoop, or is this common knowledge out there that you're not busily writing the next book?
Yes, how much are you allowed to say about the time travel book?
Not much.
But it does mean you're going to have another book in between. Is that the?
Yes. Yeah. So it'll come out next year.
Oh wow!
It was again. I'm happy to say it was something I wrote in my spare time that I just wanted to do. Been wanting to do a time travel book for a long time, I do a book every 2 years, and so the next book in 2 years' time will be the two something somethings. Will be the next Jack West book.
Yeah.
But if I do one in between, there's no reason not to put it out, you know, inside the year. So my fans, again, it's that relationship with your readers, that if you're up front and you say to your readers, I will be doing a new Jack West book, but I've got this other one coming out, you know, which is a standalone. As long as they're aware, they're
receptive.
They're receptive to it.
More than receptive.
There are a lot of writers out there writing books in their spare time when they've got their full-time job. So your full-time job is your Jack West, and in your spare time, you're writing this other book. It makes perfect sense.
Yeah, it's a funny thing. Some of them, the series are, they're the series, so they are what they are. But as I said, in that little period in between Five Warriors and Four Kingdoms as well, you learn a lot about your craft when you write the standalones. The tournament is entirely unlike the Jack West books, yet the history is very similar. The research is very similar. The Great Zoo of China is entirely unlike the Jack West books. But the large-scale action with, you know, dragons going up against helicopters and fighter jets is quite similar. So the standalone, and even when you write a time travel book as a standalone, you learn a lot about plotting and crafting. So it all works well together.
Yeah.
So you've been hanging out in Hollywood for some time now. And I'm assuming that there are fans out there going, I've got my money, I want to buy a ticket to a Matt Reilly film. What news out there of Matt Reilly films? Is there anything happening?
So my fingers are crossed that we've been advancing pretty well on a TV series of the Scarecrow novels. But,
awesome.
Again, we're close, but we're not there yet. The Great Zoo of China was with Sony, but I don't think they're going to make it now, which is a shame. They'd got a good script, got a good director, but it's not going to happen. The hard part with my stuff is I wrote my books to be bigger than Hollywood blockbusters, so when Hollywood comes calling, they're expensive. And so everything has to fall into place. All the planets must come into alignment before a studio is going to invest $100 million. I'm in talks with a big production company about the Jack West series, and that would be for film, for a feature film. Even the tournament is out there being seen by some people for a feature TV series.
That'd be brilliant.
I would love that.
Yeah, that'd be great.
Well, the tournament, I think, would be perfect for a 6-8-part TV series, limited series, and you could really explore the book rather than chop it up for a film.
Mm-hmm. But also the character can keep going.
That's right. That's right.
Both of them, if you wanted to.
Yes. And there's even that little short story I did, Roger Ascham and the King's Lost Girl.
Yeah,
which,
love that.
I did one of the scripts for the tournament, and I actually used that as the opening scene of the tournament movie script. So Hollywood's a funny beast. You sort of have to take it for what it is. But I've been meeting a lot of good people there, and I enjoy living there. It's actually... I've become good friends with a few sort of feature screenwriters as well. And, you know, we talk about movies. We talk about movies in the way that people who tell stories talk about them. And we went and saw Mission Impossible 6 together or something like that. And we all, you know, dissected after the movie. And that's just wonderful.
That sounds fun.
Yeah.
I mean, we know from past interviews just how much you love the great blockbusters of the 80s and the 90s. So going to the home of Hollywood, it would be, it's a little dream.
I just saw a 30th anniversary screening of Die Hard.
Oh, wow.
In a cinema within view of the Die Hard building.
Oh, my God.
So it is. I love my 80s movies. And this year, I really liked Black Panther. But I really, really liked Avengers Infinity War. That exceeded my expectations. I really enjoyed that.
Were you in a cinema with all these kids going...
That ending, oh my God. I mean, I don't want to spoil it for anyone who hasn't seen it.
Yeah, but the poor kids in that movie, like, I was surrounded by probably 8-year-olds at the time, and they were...
I think it's a really fascinating experience for somebody who is 8 to 12 or 13 years of age to see a movie where maybe the good guys don't prevail.
Mm.
I mean, we all, people of a certain age, we all saw The Empire Strikes Back.
That was my favourite too.
And it, to me, this is, I mean, also for someone like me, we all knew that Avengers Infinity War was part one of a two-movie arc, so it's only halfway through. And I still think the final, again, spoiler alert, at the very, very end of the credits the post-credit scene, which everybody who watches a Marvel movie, if you leave before the end of the credits, you haven't seen a Marvel movie.
Yeah.
That is the single greatest advertisement for the Captain Marvel movie you've ever seen in your life.
I'm so excited for that movie as well.
And in actual fact, actually, to sort of bring it back to me, because it's all about me, I did learn something from the Marvel movies, and I employed it with Four Legendary Kingdoms and with Three Secret Cities. The Marvel movies, people often say, what do they do so well? They're like a big television series. There are 20 movies, but you have your movie, and at the end of the credits, there's this little uptick, and the uptick piques your interest in the next one. And if you look at my last two books, Four Legendary Kingdoms had the Great Games, and there was a little epilogue which was an uptick. It was about this sort of silver sarcophagus opening. And you want to leave the reader with that little uptick of interest of like, oh, what's going to happen next? And again, I won't spoil Three Secret Cities, but Three Secret Cities has an uptick at the end, because I did learn with The Six Sacred Stones, where I had a huge cliffhanger ending. That wasn't an uptick. That was just a full cliffhanger. You got to be pretty gutsy to do the big cliffhanger ending, because your big fan's going to wait 2 years for the next book. But I think the Marvel movies, if they had an influence on me, it was give the reader that story and give them a little uptick at the very end.
I love that you're putting post-credit scenes in your books. I do agree that it's a more satisfying experience, because we like the little element of a cliffhanger, because we always want to be hungry for more. But you want an ending that feels right before you get there.
Exactly. Yeah. And I haven't really thought of it till this very moment, but I think probably the Marvel movies were quite influential in that.
Matthew, thank you so much for coming in and talking to us. It's such a pleasure to get a chance to talk to someone who's been writing these wonderful books for so many years, and with so many fans out there who are just waiting for the next thing. It's absolutely marvellous. Thank you for coming in.
Thanks for having me.
And you can get hold of Matthew Riley's books at booktopia.com.au right now.
Thanks for listening to the Booktopia podcast. Don't forget to subscribe to us on SoundCloud and iTunes. And if your eyeballs need a workout, check us out on YouTube at Booktopia TV. And don't forget, for all books featured on this episode and all episodes of the Booktopia podcast, head to Booktopia, Australia's local bookstore, at www.booktopia.com.au. Thanks for listening.